Welcome back in Weekend Hustle, hour number two. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with me. Nick Frazier has gone to the great beyond. He's
gone into the ether.
He has not passed away. He's in San Francisco, I think. But he will join me again in hour number three as Parker Kelly leaves me. In creation of a new show and an addition of Parker Kelly to the show, which we are beyond happy to have you. We'll tell you that a lot today.
I'm excited to be here.
You should be. Just had Kelly's Corner. I mean, we're throwing you into the fire, man.
I get my own segment. First, Newt's Notes, Kelly's Corner, what, Frazier's Files? Is that coming up?
That'll be the rotation.
Yeah, man.
Well, we'll rotate it weekly. But wanted you to be the first, throwing you into the fire. Welcome to the Wolves Den. This is in celebration of a new show. Let's roll out a new segment. We will do this every week. The term hot take has been retired on this station, banned. That is the only time I will use that term for the duration of this show. So we've replaced it with bold take. This segment is called Bold Take Row. We want audience participation from this. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Give us a bold take. Can be sports, can be non-sports, about anything you want, literally anything.
Man, I'm so happy you have me on for this segment. So I did a show about 2 weeks ago on my podcast, The Air Raid, and I did my last segment was college football hot takes for 2025. And I figured since, you know, it's first week of August, second week of August, and we'll have college football this month, I have a piping hot take. Piping hot take. Are you ready for it?
Don't say hot take. It's bold take.
Shoot.
That's okay.
Bold take. From here on out, we will not utter those words. We'll whisper if we want to. Hot take. Bold take row. All right, you ready?
Go for it.
South Carolina will miss the playoffs in 2025.
I don't hate it, actually. South Carolina is like the sexy pick right now in the SEC. Everyone thinks they're making a bold claim by saying they're the dark horse, but they're actually not. I mean, Lenora Sellers, their quarterback, is, if not a Heisman contender, maybe the Heisman favorite in Vegas right now. They got some key pieces. Nick Harbor is one of the fastest receivers in college football. The defensive end is just
Dylan
as good.
Stewart.
Dylan Stewart. They've got a great running back. I don't hate that.
Here's my thing. I mean, so besides, and I'm sorry, Kentucky and Mississippi State.
Yeah, I feel like literally me and Nick Frazier.
I feel like every team in the SEC feels like they're going to take a step in the right direction or stay stagnant where they were.
Right.
But here's the thing. Just because of how deep the SEC is and just because the balance that transfer portal NIL brings to the sport, somebody's going to have to take a step back.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be South Carolina. And it has nothing to do with Lenore Sellers. I think he's great. I think he's going to be a top 10 pick. He could be a Heisman finalist. Who knows? Dylan Stewart, one of the best defensive players in the country. Here's my reason. They lost so much on the defensive side of the ball to the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. Nick Emenwori,
yep.
Kyle Kennard.
Yep.
Those are two foundational pieces. Their running back, we don't even know if he's going to be eligible. Faison from Utah State, we don't know if he's going to be eligible. I have questions about the receiving room besides Nick Harbor. I mean, he's a speed threat. But what do they have outside of that? Who's Lenore Sellers going to throw to? And plus, that schedule is really tough. I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but I can get it pulled up. But every team in the SEC has a tough schedule. So it's just hard for me to believe that every team is going to get better, because the truth is somebody's going to have to get worse, and I think it's going to be South Carolina.
I don't hate it. I think I was just ranting about how great players South Carolina has, and I think that's the national media talking. I think the national media is looking at this team and saying, hey, you know, Lenore Sellers has a lot around him, but I could see them completely underperforming. The other thing you got to think about is who is their head coach? Shane Beamer, who is a pretty notable underperformer in times. He had a great year last year and kind of saved his job, but let's not play revisionist history here. He was on the hot seat before that. So,
okay, so I have South Carolina's schedule pulled up in front of me.
Let's hear it.
So their first five games, Virginia Tech, which is a neutral site game, I don't imagine that that's going to be overly difficult.
Yeah.
They have South Carolina State, Vanderbilt, at Missouri, and then at home versus Kentucky.
You could realistically start 5-0. Then.
Realistically, right? I think those the Vanderbilt game, although they get Vanderbilt at home and at Missouri, I think Missouri, they're my dark horse team for the SEC this year. I think those will be your two toughest games in that five-game stretch, but listen to the back half. They're at LSU, they're at home versus Oklahoma, at home versus Alabama, at Ole Miss, at Texas A&M. They have that SEC cupcake game in November versus Coastal, and then they get Clemson. That's a gauntlet.
Yeah.
So if South Carolina goes 7-5, if you're looking at their schedule and the talent on the roster, is it really that far-fetched to say that they're going to miss the playoffs in 2025?
No, I think it's in the realm of possibility. I am very high on Clemson this year. I think Clemson is a national title contender. A lot of people doubt Cade Klubnik, to which I respond, why? He may be the best quarterback in the nation that doesn't get talked about.
Yeah, and I'm also very high on Clemson, especially what their offense was able to do at the midway point last year and throughout the remainder of the season. But if you're looking just at the SEC, you have Texas, you have Georgia, you have Alabama, you have Ole Miss, you have LSU, you have Florida, Oklahoma. All these teams are going to be fighting for, and I think the SEC will get four, maybe five, in this 12-team college football playoff. There's just no way they can get eight. And there are at least 9-10 teams in the SEC that have legitimate playoff expectations this year.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. I don't hate it. I really don't. It's a bold take, but it's one I can get on board with.
They're the one that I think is going to take a step back.
And we welcome your audience participation again. 615-737-1025. Gabe in Clarksville says, I agree with you, Parker Kelly. That is quite the assessment from Gabe and Clarksville.
And I guarantee there are going to be a lot of people that don't, but I just have a gut feeling that it's going to be South Carolina that takes a step back. Also, this kind of ties into that. Also, I think either Oklahoma or Florida, one of the two, is going to be one of the SEC teams that does make the playoff.
Sure.
And it's not going to be both because of the scheduling, but a 9-3 Florida team with they have the number one toughest strength of schedule in the country. You're telling me a 9-3 Florida team doesn't deserve in the playoff?
That's true. I'm going to go outside of sports for my bold take, and okay. I think you'll like okay. this one. It is in the realm of Marvel movies.
Okay. Oh, I'm here for it.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2 is a great movie.
Oh, no, I agree. No,
I will take that to the grave.
And here's the thing. I get into this debate a lot about who the best Spider-Man is, and Andrew Garfield's always been my favorite.
Well, Tobey's my favorite Spider-Man just because that screams nostalgia to me. Spider-Man 2, I think, is the best Spider-Man movie ever with Dr. Octopus. But
yeah. No, yeah.
I love all three. But did it have some questionable writing? Yes. But was it a bad movie? I don't think so. Maybe this is the kid in me speaking, but I loved Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I do too. So I want to get your opinion on this. So I think Tobey Maguire is the best Peter Parker because he has that yes. nerdy, he gets bullied. I think Andrew Garfield is the best Spider-Man because he kind of has that swagger to him.
Yeah.
And I don't
best
think Peter
swing scenes.
Yeah, yeah, I think Peter Parker is a guy that he is a nerd, he gets bullied, and yeah. I don't think he does a great job playing Peter Parker, but I think he does a great job playing Spider-Man. And then I think Tom Holland is he's not great at either or, but he's probably the best in terms of consistency, if you know what I'm saying.
He is. We'll compare Spider-Man to the Titans tight end room.
Oh.
Chig Okonkwo is fast. Peter Parker, or Tobey Maguire, is the best Peter Parker. There you go. I don't want to really compare Tobey Maguire to Chig Okonkwo, but that's where we're going. Andrew Garfield is Josh Wiley.
I didn't think this is where we were going with this.
He's strong like Josh Wiley, but he doesn't have a lot of depth to him. Tom Holland is Gunnar Helm. The new upstart guy isn't the best at anything.
That's groundbreaking.
But is looked on upon because he is effective.
Because Chig is not the best blocker, but he's the most athletic one in the room. Josh Wiley, to me, he's always like, dude, just play. You're 6'7". Play the tight end position yeah. like you're a power forward, and you'll be just fine.
Yeah.
But he doesn't necessarily have the speed. I don't think he's the best route runner. I think he's very good at being physical. But Gunnar Helm, we've talked about this. He's not elite in anything, but good at everything.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great comparison.
I mean, it was kind of a deep cut. Looking at some of your texts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Benson and Mount Juliet says pineapple belongs on pizza. I can't get on board with that one.
No, I'm not on that one.
I can't get on board with that one. Rick in Nashville says Kentucky is going to win national championship number 9. I can get on board with that one.
In basketball?
In basketball.
This year. Okay. I don't think that's crazy, but okay.
It's not realistic. We'll do this every week. This is a lot of fun. You guys are being great on the text line. Lots of participation. We can keep those going on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I have Parker Kelly, of course, the host of The Air Raid, Nashville's greatest college football podcast. Soon to be America's. Jeremy Presson, rejoice. Coming up next, we'll talk a little bit of college football with Parker Kelly here on 102.5 The Game. This is Weekend Huddle. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is about great service. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Nick Frazier also here, but often the... He'll be here later. He was here earlier. He'll come back. As much as I love Nick Frazier, it is nice to have just you and me.
Yeah.
A meeting of minds.
That's right. Talk a little college football.
So you kind of touched on a little bit what I wanted to talk about in the last segment with South Carolina and that talk. But I really wanted to talk about with you what team, not just SEC, we'll open this up nationwide. What Power Four conference team is getting talked about too much? I have a few that come to mind, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
I'm not going to take the easy way out and say South Carolina.
Yeah.
Because
we already did that.
And Here's my thing. I think it's Ohio State.
Really?
I think it's Ohio State, and here's why. Like, I would not be surprised if Ohio State made the college football playoff this year. I expect Ohio State to be really good, but here's what I'm trying to say. I mean, they lost so much to the draft. They had the most guys drafted this year, and to me, yes, you have the best player on offense in Jeremiah Smith. You have the best player on defense, Caleb Downs, Cody Simon, their linebacker. They return Igbinosin, their corner, but there's just so much new. Carnell Tate. They just have so much new, so... If they make the playoff, I think that's a win for them this year, and the expectation is to win at Ohio State. But for them to be, you know, back in the national championship picture, I think is a stretch.
I am high on Ohio State simply because I think them and Texas probably have the two deepest rosters in the country. That saying, I look at the quarterback battle going on in Ohio State, and Ryan Day has said it is going down to the wire. I think it'll be Julian Sand coming out on top.
But I do too.
I'm not 1,000% sure. But he is a freshman. How many freshmen have come in year one? Throw away Lenora Sellers. He's an outlier. And DJ Lagway. How many freshmen have come in year one and just lit the nation on fire?
It is rare. Like you have, like Johnny Manziel did it. But it's rare. And if you're the starting quarterback at Ohio State, regardless of age, I mean, it's a pretty big deal. And I do think he'll win the job. Lincoln Kindholds is the more athletic out of the two, I'd say. But in terms of passing.
I mean, Sayan was a top prospect last year.
Yeah.
Five-star prospect. Has the legs.
Elite 11 MVP.
Has the arm. I mean, he just was originally committed to Alabama, I think, and then flipped Ohio State.
Well, he got to campus, first day of class. Boom, Nick Saban retires. And then he's out the door. Yeah. The next day. So, and this isn't me trying to dog Ohio State. I mean, think about let's think about 2026. If they bring all these guys back after getting a year of experience, imagine how good that team could be. But I think, I mean, Texas and Ohio State are 1-2 in terms of preseason odds to win the whole thing, which Texas, yeah. Ohio State, like, is it really realistic considering everything they lost?
It's not. But I think, you know, I just look at the help that they have on offense. Jeremiah Smith is the best offensive player in the country.
Maybe
no
the
doubt
best
about
player
it.
In general.
Yeah.
But I'd say he is. I mean, he might have got taken number one overall in the draft if he was eligible.
As a true freshman.
As a receiver, too. Like,
yes. He is the best offensive player in the country. Carnell Tate is a sneaky good. Like, he is a good starting wide receiver. He's I mean, he was wide receiver three behind Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Egbuka last year, but that just tells you how loaded Ohio State's wide receiver room is, because Egbuka's over in Tampa Bay, who the Titans just saw, and Jeremiah Smith, we're already talking about him being the number one pick last year as a true freshman. So I say this to say, whoever steps in under center in the Ohio State quarterback room, they're not going to be alone. They've got help. They've got plenty to look forward to.
But if there's any opportunity for me to compete for that Ohio State job, just to be able to throw to Jeremiah Smith, like, please, I mean, sign me. I have 2 years of eligibility left.
We could throw, I don't know, Jake Locker in there, and I think we would be just
fine. If you're throwing to Jeremiah Smith, just throw that thing up.
If you can't throw it 5 yards, don't worry. Jeremiah Smith is still going to come up with it.
Yep.
The way you feel about Ohio State is the way I feel about Penn State.
Mm.
Now, they are a loaded team. You know, Drew Aller comes in as a senior, who I'm not super high on Drew Aller. I don't know why. He makes some great throws, and then he's like a Will Levis to me. He has the arm strength and the arm talent. It's a matter of him piecing it together. Mm-hmm. Nick Singleton, maybe the best running back in the Big Ten, if not the country. There's running backs tight this
year. And then don't forget his counterpart, Katron Allen.
Yep, Katron Allen.
Getting both of them back was huge.
Danny Dennis Sutton on the defensive end.
Yep. Yep.
They've got a lot of pieces. But then I think about, who is their coach? Jimmy Frank. Do we ever trust James Franklin to beat a team he is not supposed to beat? Do we think he can get over the hump with beating Ohio State?
1-15 against top five teams during his tenure. 1-15.
I mean, he's never going to, not that he's never going to beat the allegations, but Penn State goes on the road to Oregon this year. Probably
No. They get Oregon at home. The only reason I know that is because it's the whiteout game, and I consider
You're right.
Wanting to go.
That's week three. That's right. Regardless, they host Oregon, who year in and year out is one of the most talented offensive teams in the country and has quite the defense this year, too, with Uiagalelei's brother. I'm blanking on
Mateo. Keep.
Yeah. But do we trust James Franklin to go in and beat a team that will probably maybe not be ranked higher than his, but on paper, from top to bottom, probably be a better roster than his? I'm not so sure I can trust him to do that.
Let me present a counter argument to this just for the sake of conversation. The great thing about Penn State is they always beat the teams that they're supposed to beat.
Oh,
it's just the teams that they're not favored against, they don't beat.
Which is why they go 9-3 every year.
Yeah,
or 10-2.
But they're consistently a top 8-14 type team. But let me present this idea to you. What if in the past, because you can legit make an argument, and I don't think you'd be crazy for saying this, that Penn State has the most talented roster in college football this year.
Mm.
But when was the last time we've said that about Penn State in recent years?
Not often.
Because usually the teams that they're playing, like in Ohio State, like these top five teams, are much more talented than Penn State. But it's different this year. I think Penn State is the more talented team. But I understand the hesitancy because they haven't done it. They beat Ohio State, 2016? But since then haven't beat a top five team, so I get it. But now I think they're more talented. So if this is the year that they get over the hump, this is the year to do it.
Yeah, I'd have to look at their schedule, because playing in the Big Ten is not the same as playing in the SEC, where it's a gauntlet every week. They're going to play some talented teams. They play Oregon. I'm
getting Oregon at home in a wideout game at night. That is a huge, huge deal, because if they had to go on the road to Oregon, they're traveling four time zones, and Autzen Stadium, despite it being small, is one of the loudest stadiums in the country.
Okay. So Penn State plays Florida International at home. That's a win. Plays Villanova at home. That's a win. Oregon, that's a toss-up, but it's at home at night in a whiteout.
Mm-hmm.
At UCLA, I would venture to say that's a win. Northwestern at home, win. At Iowa.
If that's a night game, that's a slip-up game.
It is at noon.
That's a tricky one.
It's big noon kickoff, I'm sure. At Ohio State, I chalk that up as a loss. Indiana, who I don't think will be as good as they were last year, but they play a similar schedule, so that'll be a ranked matchup. And then at Michigan State, I mean, Aiden Childs is fine, but there's not much there. To me, that says a 10-2 season. Now, that probably gets you a top four seed if you win the Big Ten. If, well, maybe not. Maybe you don't even have to do that because they're doing the true rankings. But to me, that gets you in the playoffs. I don't know what more you can do after that.
I'm looking at the Oregon-Ohio State. If they can split that and go 1-1 and finish 11-1.
You're a top four national seed.
Yeah, but you're going to have to win the Big Ten.
Yep.
And then the thing about Penn State with their playoff path, they had SMU, Boise State, two games that they should have won. Anybody in that situation could have won those games. Oregon, whatever. But what happens when you play Notre Dame in the semifinals? You got to win that one. And if Penn State does not do it this year, it's hard for me to see them ever doing it.
They have the talent to do it, though. That's the problem. They're similar to Ohio State in that they have the talent to do it. My thing is just I don't know about the coaching and execution. I don't know how well that's going to translate to the field. How well will Drew Aller play this year? Does he have a slump year? He kind of took the nation by storm last year a little bit.
He has to take the next step. I think he's too conservative with the football. Like, I'd like to see him take more shots.
He's a first-round quarterback.
Yeah, because he doesn't turn the ball over a lot, but I'd like to see him be a little bit more aggressive, and he wasn't overly aggressive against Notre Dame.
Some of that is the system Penn State runs. That is a run-heavy offense.
And they haven't had the receivers to do it.
Always
have. But they do have the receivers this year because the use of the transfer portal.
They do.
So that's another thing that they haven't had in a while. I mean, they have three really good receivers. Trevor Pena from Syracuse.
Yes.
Devontae Ross, who is all Sun Belt from Troy. And then, I'm blanking on his name. Kid from USC. Jacoby Lane.
Mm-hmm. And Joey Schlaffer at, is it Schlaffer or Schlafer?
Schlafer sounds right.
Schlafer.
Schlaffer.
He is the replacement to Tyler Warren. But you know how much Penn State likes to run sets to the tight end.
Tight ends have been good.
They've always been good.
They've been good. Same thing about the defense. And then they go and they're paying the best defensive coordinator in the country, $3 million in Jim Knowles. So
yeah,
Andy Kotelnicki, who's their offensive coordinator year two, much of
who
the
I
same.
Really like.
Yeah, it's just I'm more bullish on Penn State than you are, but I just want to see them do it.
Yeah, they have the talent to do it. It's just a matter of execution. Let's flip this conversation over on the other side. We just touched on which team is getting talked about too much. How about what team nationally isn't getting talked about enough? That's next. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by LPL Financial. Financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. Welcome back in the second hour of Weekend Huddle, the debut episode.
You're getting me fired up with this music right here.
This is the best scene. Creed 2, the desert training scene. I mean, doesn't get better than that.
My favorite scene of all time next to Avengers Endgame, you know, the obvious one.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ever feel down, just watch that scene.
Seriously, I used to watch it before football games. Just get me fired up.
That soundtrack's incredible.
It is.
First off.
It is.
That's probably my favorite Creed movie of the three.
Yeah, it's mine. It's my favorite movie in general.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I love it.
I mean, it's fantastic. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you on this Saturday morning. We just touched on what college football team across the nation is getting talked about too much. Let's flip it over on the other side. What college football team today, as it is August 9th, had to make sure I had my dates right. School's starting soon, so I don't...
That's right.
Once it gets to
this point of the year, like you realize we have two Saturdays left until college football?
Yeah.
Or is it three?
It's...
I don't count week zero.
Yeah, it's three then.
Yeah.
It's three. Let's talk about which team is not getting talked about enough.
I kind of want you to go first. Because I'm on the edge of my seat.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, I want to know that?
You like that? I mean, if I had to pick one, honestly, I'd go in the SEC. I'd go Texas A&M. I like what Texas A&M has of Marcel Reed in year two. Had a great year one, first of all. Fellow acquaintance, by the way. I've met him multiple times. He is a very, very nice man. Man, he's younger than me. Young man. Which is weird for me to say that someone is younger than me, because that doesn't happen much.
Well, it's still true.
In this business.
He's younger.
That doesn't happen much in this business.
He's a young man.
But I love the pieces that Texas A&M has, and I love Mike Elko. I think he's a great defensive-minded coach. I think he brings a lot to the table. Key players for Texas A&M, Le'Veon Moss, their running back, Will Lee the third, other DB, Chance Jackson on the offensive line. They have a great offensive line, first of all.
Oh, them and Auburn, I'd say, have the deepest offensive lines in college football. Or in the SEC, I'll say that, in the SEC.
KC Concepcio in the wide receiver room.
Guy that people need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Transfer from NC State. 1,000-yard yes. receiver as a true freshman. 10 touchdowns.
They're going to be fun. I can see them squeezing into the playoffs. I don't think they're a national contender just yet.
I don't think so either.
Just because of the conference they play in, and there are teams better than them. Like, I think Texas, Georgia, Alabama, LSU are probably all better teams than them. But I would put Texas A&M in that second tier of SEC teams, along with, like, Florida mm-hmm. and Tennessee and Oklahoma.
Tennessee in tier two. Oh, look at you.
I mean, we got to be realistic here, right?
I guess that's realistic.
I like the underdog mentality that I think they have. And I think a lot of people go in expecting this year to be, well, it's just another Texas A&M team. They'll probably go 9-3, 8-4. And maybe they do. But I think in today's day and age, a good 9-3 with a good resume is enough to get you into the college football playoff. Texas A&M plays Notre Dame at Notre Dame.
In the non-conference.
That's a tough game. But they were competitive with Notre Dame last year, and I think this Notre Dame roster...
was one of the games of the year.
Yeah, it was.
One of the games of the year.
It was a defensive... If you mm-hmm. like defensive football, that was yeah. a great one. I think Notre Dame has lost a lot. They lose some key pieces on the offensive line. Jeremiah Love, probably another contender for the best running back in the nation, but they lose their quarterback in Riley Leonard. They're probably going to trot either C.J. Carr or my boy Kenny Menchie,
mm-hmm.
former JP2 Knight. Out there.
Kenny Minchie.
I would lean towards CJ Carr. Similar to Julian Sayin, he's a true freshman, but he's got more upside than Kenny. No offense, Kenny. But non-conference, they play Notre Dame. Then we get into the conference. Auburn, that's at home. I could see them winning that. Actually, I could very well see them winning that. Mississippi State at home is an easy win. Florida at home, I would lean towards Texas A&M there. Arkansas on the road. They're a better team than Arkansas. At LSU, I think you could probably chalk that as an L, but you never know. Brian Kelly tends to choke in these big games. At Missouri, I think that would be a win. South Carolina is a toss-up. Stanford, a win. Then, of course, you play Texas at Texas. There are a lot of losses. Not losses, but there are a lot of games on here I could see as toss-ups, like that Florida game. Like LSU, like South Carolina, like Texas. I think if they win two of those four, then they are probably safely in the college football playoff, assuming they win everything else.
Yeah, and I mean, there are a lot of potentially losable games when you play an SEC schedule. I've told you this stat before, but the 1 through 11 teams in terms of toughest strength of schedule are all SEC teams, and mm-hmm. Texas A&M is in that group. Texas A&M is the sleeping giant of college football because they are in Texas, which is a hotbed for recruiting. It's really them, Florida, and California, the top three states.
Yep.
So they have no problem getting guys to campus. They have great boosters. They just have not had the right head coach to lead the program. And I think Mike Elko is that guy. This is his second stint in College Station. I don't think he puts up with any bull crap.
No.
So like
he's a no-nonsense guy.
He,
I love that.
I think he is the guy to get Texas A&M on the right path. And if we're speaking in terms of positives, A&M does have one of the deepest lines, offensive line rooms in college football. They have a three-headed monster at running back, and they get Reuben Owens back. I mean, seriously, could have the best rushing attack in the SEC. Receivers, KC Concepcion, a lot of people need to get familiar with that name. Defense is going to be fine.
Good secondary.
I just question Marcel Reed because he's one of the guys that I just – if I'm speaking from a pure opinionated standpoint, I don't know. I don't know if he's the guy that is going to lead A&M to where they want to go. I don't doubt that he's an athlete. I just doubt what he can do throwing the football.
Yeah, I can see that because that's the knock on him, right? Great athlete, fantastic with his feet, lacks a bit of the arm strength. he's not going to have as much arm strength as the DJ Lagway does, who is just a freak of nature with his legs and his arm.
Many people are going to have that arm strength.
I mean, genetic freak, first of all. A quarterback that size shouldn't have... He's like Cam Newton, in a way. A little smaller, obviously, but they play a lot alike. But I like my... I think Marcel Reed's... I hate this term because it gets thrown out a lot for average quarterbacks, but I think he's a game manager. I think he's the kind of guy that you want to put in an offense like that. And let's not be crazy. With the offensive line that they have, A&M is going to be a run-heavy offense.
Oh, they should be.
And they should be.
If you have the offensive line to do it and you have three really good running backs, why not?
But I think that's where Marcel Reed comes in. Because if you have that offensive line, you have the extra time for him to scramble around the pocket or outside of the pocket. You have the extra time for him to launch it downfield to a receiver. I think this is a team that goes unnoticed.
That's a good point you bring up, because in college you can get away with that.
Yeah.
Versus the NFL, you can't. You have to be able to throw. But he can't. And then he has weapons. They also have Amari Nyblack, who's a transfer tight end from Alabama. So if he's just able to distribute to those two guys,
yeah,
and run the football, yeah. But again, like, it comes back to that schedule. Like, got to go at least 9-3.
Yeah.
Got to go at least 9-3.
I think 9-3 is borderline playoff with the schedule they have.
And if they expand to 14-16, which is likely, then...
You're in safely.
Yeah.
All right. Mine's A&M. What is yours?
Georgia Tech.
Oh!
Georgia Tech is my dark horse. And
the
on
rambling wreck,
two,
baby.
Two episodes ago on my podcast, I predicted the conference championship games. And I said that Georgia Tech will be in the ACC championship versus Clemson. Now, I'm looking at Georgia Tech's schedule right in front of me. They're at Colorado week one. I'm not much of a believer in Colorado this year.
Yeah.
But playing at Colorado and, you know, the mile high and, you know, all that altitude, that is very real. But if Georgia Tech can handle that, then I see them being able to beat Colorado. But outside of that, I'm looking at their schedule, Clemson and Georgia. Those are the two games on their schedule that I'm like, okay, those are probably going to be losses. But here's the good thing. They get Clemson at home, and then Georgia is at a neutral site, which I hate, but they're playing Georgia in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, Georgia Tech is, the school is in Atlanta, but they're not playing at Georgia Tech. They're playing, I think it's Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, probably Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah. So those are the two toughest, but yet none of them are on the road.
Yeah. They have... You want to talk game manager quarterbacks. Haynes King is the definition of game manager quarterback.
Haynes King is the definition of a college quarterback because he doesn't necessarily get it done with his arm, but I think what he contributes with his legs is just as big as anything. And Haynes King and Brent Key, their head coach, are the two reasons why I'm such a believer in Georgia Tech this year, because that team embodies what Brent Key is all about. Brent Key is the college Mike Vrabel. Like, this guy will
hard nose run through the wall.
Wants to run through your freaking face. Like, and in the trenches, that's where Georgia Tech is going to play football.
And I think their defense kind of reflects that.
Exactly.
On the D-line, they have a two-headed monster, I will say, of Blake Bellin and Braden Manley.
So when you combine that with the schedule, which is not the most difficult, I mean, they don't have to play SMU, they don't have to play Miami, and they get Clemson and Georgia Tech, or Georgia, at a neutral site or at home. I think when you combine that with their schedule, to me, it makes sense. And I'm riding high on Georgia Tech this year.
I could see them. The ACC is so wide open, I think, because outside of Clemson, I don't think there is a true superpower team. Maybe Miami. I think people tend to knock on Carson Beck a little bit too much because of what he did last year.
But which it's so wild to me, because a season ago we were talking about him being the number one overall pick in the draft. And then now, right, like, oh, he sucks. Like, that's what most people say.
Now, but they've lost. Miami's another team. They've lost a lot, obviously.
A lot of them are here locally.
Restrepo, Cam Ward is obviously here. And then over in Seattle, Elijah Arroyo. But
they lost their top six.
And James
catches.
Williams is here, too.
Yeah.
But Miami is a team that I think is on the up and come. They're similar to Penn State. I just don't trust their coach to get it done.
Yeah.
That's just me.
And Mario Cristobal, like, I hear a lot of people talking bad about Mario Cristobal, but if you look at Miami, like, record-wise, they've gotten better each year he's been there. And last year they were 10-2, which isn't bad. I'd say they underperformed considering the roster they had, and their defense couldn't stop molasses in December. But I mean, like, statistically and as a record, they've gotten better each year.
Yeah.
So I'd say now Miami, like, you gotta make the college football playoff.
I think their window is closing right now. Now they have the benefit of being in the state of Florida, and like you just said, Florida, California, and Texas are probably the three hotbeds for college football recruiting. Their problem is they've got two other Power Four programs in the same state that they happen to be rivals with both of them, one of them being in the same conference as them. They're all trying to out-recruit each other. That's just how it is. Yep. So it's a matter of, can they put it together, bring in all these recruits? I don't know. They're just a team. They fall into the category of teams that I think are being talked about too much. But
yeah, you're still talking about Miami.
Yes.
So Miami, Notre Dame, week one, at least they get them at home. Then they get Florida at home. They're at Florida State. They have Louisville in there. They're at SMU. Here's where I really start to... So if Miami is fortunate enough to play in the ACC championship game, their last two games, they're at Virginia Tech and they're at Pitt. Pitt is another dark horse team, I think, in the ACC.
Love Eli Holst.
But, like, I mean, Miami, they're literally at the bottom, the very bottom of the United States. If you think about going up to Blacksburg, Virginia, that's a hike for them. And then at Pitt, even more of a hike. And then if you're playing in the ACC championship game, that'd be a third straight game on the road in a cold environment.
Yeah.
I think that'd be tough for Miami.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Right now, my gut tells me they won't make it, but I think they have a shot.
That is an interesting point. There is one more team I want to ask you about, and we'll get to that on the other side. I am very torn on how to feel about them. We'll do that next. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here on Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game. Oh, yeah. Does this get you excited for Kentucky Wildcat football, Parker?
Oh, baby.
Are you excited to watch
Cutter
Bowley?
I'm not sure about Kentucky, but... Hey, Cutter Bowley, man.
Greatest quarterback to ever grace the field.
That's the truth right there.
Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you on this Saturday morning. I teased it last segment. There is one more team that I am torn about if they're being talked about too much or not enough. And that is the team over in Chapel Hill. Bill Belichick and the North Carolina Tar Heels. I think they are getting a lot of national coverage simply because of who their coach is and what's going on in his life. But looking at this roster, I don't think it's a bad roster. Gio Lopez is your quarterback. He's a freshman. But he reminds me a lot of Tua Tagovailoa. A scrambler, left-handed, but has a deep arm. They have a great defense. Great maybe a stretch, but they have a solid defense. I'm curious your thoughts, Parker, on North Carolina. I think I'm so torn between them being a dark horse in the ACC or them being a complete flop.
Well, I'd say you're just like every logical college football fan out there, because the truth is I don't know either. And I know Heather Denage at ESPN said this, they're the biggest mystery team in college football, which is absolutely the truth. Nobody, if somebody tells you they know how this is going to work out with Bill Belichick, they're lying to you.
Right.
We just don't know. He's never done it before, and it's so much different than the NFL. Think about it. You're getting guys out of high school, you're getting guys out of the transfer portal, and you're having to develop them for the NFL. When you get them in the NFL, for the most part, they're already pretty developed. It's just getting them to work as a team. But for North Carolina, I actually have studied them a lot because I know somebody who's a receiver over there. But think about this. North Carolina, if Bill Belichick was in charge of making North Carolina's schedule, I don't think you can make it any easier. I really don't. They open with TCU week one, which I think is going to be a tough game, but that's at home.
In
Clemson,
Keenan.
Week five is at home. But outside of that, I mean, it's you have Charlotte, you have Richmond, you're at UCF, and UCF is going to be bottom of the Big 12 this year.
Yeah.
You're at Cal. I mean, I don't think Cal is going to be great because they've been ravaged by the portal. The only thing about that is having to travel to the opposite coast. Virginia, Syracuse, Stanford, Wake Forest, Duke, NC State. Like,
those are all winnable games.
Those don't scare you.
Yeah.
What scares you is Clemson and TCU week one, but at least those games are at home. So again, if Bill Belichick was in charge of making this schedule, I don't think he could have made it any easier.
I should clarify, as Brady on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, says Max Johnson is recovering from injury. Do we really think he's going to be the same Max Johnson as he's been?
Well, he's probably not going to be the starter.
Right.
Or else they wouldn't have got Gio Lopez.
It's probably Gio Lopez. I do like their receiving room. Nathan Leacock, who I'm sure Vols fans know, former Vol recruit, switched over when Bill Belichick came on. I think he is a breakout candidate for this team. I think he's a freshman, or a redshirt freshman. But I think he has the speed and the ability to, you know, cut right through the middle and get to the house. But you're right. This is the biggest mystery of a team in the nation, I would think.
I mean, we just don't know. We just don't know what it's going to be with North Carolina. I mean, it's like I said, I'm just not sure about this roster either, because you had to put it together so fast after he got there.
Right.
And it's going to take some time. I mean, I think this whole microwave society, sometimes it works if you're playing Russian roulette with the portal, like it worked out for Florida State the year they had Jordan Travis and went undefeated and missed the playoff. But what happened to Florida State last year? They played Russian roulette with the transfer portal. It's a dangerous game. We just don't know how it's going to work out with North Carolina.
It's such a mystery, but they have cool uniforms, so that's cool.
They do. Pretty. Sky blue?
Carolina blue.
Yeah, Carolina blue.
It is said, if God wasn't a Tar Heel, why did he paint the sky Carolina
Who
blue?
Who said that? Eric Church, maybe? I wouldn't be surprised if he said it.
Well, I heard it from Reese Davis.
Oh, that's true.
But he tends to repeat a lot of things.
Yeah, it could have been Eric Church. You know, Eric Church is a big North Carolina
fan. He is a big Tar Heel. So. I thought he was a Bulldog, but then I realized that was Al Dean.
And Luke Bryan. Yeah.
A lot of these, now I'm just thinking about country stars.
Singers. There are a lot of them. Brown is another one, big Georgia fan.
He's a Georgia dog. Well, I know they have a lot of Vols. Morgan Wallen, Kenny Chesney.
Darius Rucker's South Carolina.
He's a Gamecock. There are no, unfortunately, Kentucky country
Jordan
stars.
Jordan Davis, LSU.
Ah, that's right. Country.
We could make this a segment.
Luke Bryan.
Which country music singer, whatever, fill in the blank. This country music singer is a fan of what team? That could be a segment.
That could. We could play that game. Let's play that.
Let's play that next week.
I'm just kind of looking through North Carolina's roster. They have some good pieces.
They got some pieces from Tennessee that were, you know, fringe, you know, scholarship receivers. Nathan Leacock. Dayton Sneed, receivers from Tennessee.
Just flipped a tight end commit too.
Yep. Dayton's brother Carson, who plays in Middle Tennessee at DCA, my alma mater. Shout out.
Ah, that's where Big Joe's kid went.
Mm-hmm. JJ
needs to come on the show, man.
I'm sure Big Joe would not approve
of JJ.
Yeah, because I've heard Big Joe say, and this is Big Joe's words, not mine, that he doesn't know a lot about sports.
Oh, we'll get him right.
We can help him out.
We'll get him right. Parker, I know you got a plane to catch, so appreciate you hopping on.
Hey,
for
enjoy
the
your time
out.
With Nick Frazier.
I will. Not sure what we're going to talk about, but
you'll figure it out, and we'll all be back together this same time next week. It'll be great.
You and me are going to have a lot of time together between this and the Game Blitz, which is coming soon here in a couple weeks. That's going to be fun. Filling in with Jake. Next man up.
You'll hear a lot of us, so don't get tired of us yet.
And you, of course, got the air raid, which I have still not been invited to be on.
Oh, no. You will be on soon, sir. You will be on soon.
This is my audition to be on the air raid.
And you did a great job, so you're at the top of the list now.
Okay. I'm atop the power rankings. That concludes hour two of the Weekend Huddle. Coming up next, Nick Frazier rejoins me. He resurfaces from the ether to talk probably some Tennessee Titans football. It's game day today on this Saturday. That's coming up next. Weekend Huddle, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Nick Frazier, 102.5 The Game.